I desire your prayers this morning. I certainly am grateful that God is such a merciful God. You ever had times where, you wonder how you got where you're at? Maybe good ways or bad ways, doesn't matter, either way. But I've lived life long enough. I've not lived it as long as some, but I've lived life long enough to know that God knows what He's doing. He is not confused. He is not lost. He's not out of the loop, so to speak. He is not confounded, as in He doesn't know what to do, you know. That's not God. God knows what He's doing. God's in control. God has a plan. God has a way. God has the power. God has everything we need. And so it's those times that we find ourselves maybe in a position and are going, what's going on here? How'd I get here? What happened there? Whatever. It's in those times that we can with confidence say, Lord, You know what You're doing. And if I might do this, I'm going to be a little bold here, but I think you'll understand why here in a moment. Could I have a show of hands for anyone that has dealt with any tribulations this year? If you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. I would dare say everyone in here has had some form of a tribulation this year. With confidence, I can say that. The exception maybe being some little infants. We're not going to consider them. They have them all the time. But now, we'll narrow this down. You don't have to keep raising your hands. I just wanted to do that one. I knew we'd catch everybody. Has anyone had any tribulations in the last month or so? Yeah, probably be some hands raised. How about within the last week? Probably be some more hands raised. Now we're getting a little closer here. How about the last couple of days? Okay. How about the last 12 hours? You know, here's the interesting thing. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different walk of life. Everyone has different personalities, different environments, different reactions, interactions, all those things. And God, here's the beautiful thing is, God is well aware of all of those things. Like I said, there's nothing that takes Him by surprise. We as humans, we're surprised quite frequently. We're like, I really did that? or they really did that? Or God, You did that? Or, you know, whatever the case. Or did that just really happen? We're faced with surprises quite often. And we're faced with tribulations quite often. But this should not be anything new. In fact, you remember what it says in John 16 and 33. If you remember what that verse is, I'm going to have to turn and read it myself. But in John 16 and 33, Jesus warned us what was going to take place. In verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." This was, if we can put it this way, Jesus promised. Now, this is kind of a different promise. But Jesus promised that we're going to have tribulation in this world. And guess what? It's true. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But what does it go on and say? "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus paved the way for us. Jesus, yes, He went through some tribulation too. But He paved the way because He said, "I have overcome the world." You know what that tells me? That I can overcome the world too. That you can overcome the world too. Through all the tribulations. But it goes on, and this is the awesome part. In the next chapter, chapter 17... in verse 15, Jesus says, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know what is so awesome about this? Jesus is praying for us. Now, how awesome is that? How many times have we sent texts out or phone calls out to someone asking for prayer? Because we need help, okay? We need the prayers of the saints. But to think that Jesus is praying for us, okay? That's what he was doing here. And this was for the church. Well, that's us, okay? Jesus is praying, interceding for us today, right now, at about 11:17, September 21st, 2004. Jesus, I believe, is interceding for us, right, praying for us right now to keep us from the evil, okay? But how many times have we prayed, Lord, take me out of this world? Have you ever thought that before or prayed that? I'd say some of us, especially those that are, you know, from teenagers on up. Little children, probably not so much. But the older you get, the more tribulations you face. There's times, I'm sure, we've said, Lord, I've had enough. Can you just take me on to glory, you know, or whatever, or whatever. Just take me out of this situation. You see, what that's the human side of it, okay? But Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Jesus isn't praying to take us out of this world. Jesus is saying, no, I want to keep you from the evil. I want to prove through you and through me that I can preserve you, that I can give you that peace that passes understanding, that I can give you that overcoming power that was mentioned in verse 33. That's what Jesus wants to do. But again, the human side of it is, I've had enough, Lord. This is enough. You know, just get me out of here. Take this out or whatever. Remove this. But you see, God doesn't work that way. We know that. There is a reason why God has left us here. There's a reason why we're still here this morning. Okay? Now, there's some God has already taken on to be with Him. But we are here for a reason. Now, here's some folks think, and I remember I used to have the same mindset too. Oh, Lord, maybe there's something, some great big work you want me to do. Well, that may be true for some, but I don't think that's the whole picture. I believe why God has left us here is there's still some work He wants to do on us. Okay? There's still some chiseling. There's still some purification. There's still some things because heaven is a holy place. How are we going to fit in if we've not been purified, okay, now in this life? So God's saying, nope, I want to keep them here to work on them for a little while because they're not ready, okay? And yes, it is true that there may be a job God wants you to do as well, okay? That's kind of like the afterthought, so to speak. God wants to work on the inner man first to get you ready. Then He can start using you. And then when He's done with you, He'll take us on or He'll bring it into the world. But again, God is not surprised at anything. God is not surprised when we go down and we kneel before Him and say, Lord, take me out of this. God's not surprised by that either because He understands what we're going through. I think of the scripture in Job 23. We've quoted this. It's a very well quoted scripture. I would try to quote it from memory, but I'll probably butcher it. So I'm going to read it. The 23rd chapter of Job, verse 10, says, but He knoweth the way that I take, that when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, that's what God is trying to do. That's why we're all still here, is He wants to make gold out of us. Purified gold. Well, how does gold get purified? It goes through the furnace. It goes through a purification process to get out of all the impurities. And it's by a hot fire. And here's the thing is, we're all different size of, you could say, gold nuggets, okay? And some of us, it may take longer than others. Some may have to, you know, God knows the process. We don't necessarily know it. But God knows what is in, if He could call us gold nuggets, okay? God knows what's in each little individual nugget. Some can be big ones, some little tiny ones. But God knows what they are. God knows what's in there, and God knows how hot to turn up the heat, how long to leave it in the fire, and when to start, you know, scraping off all the dregs and everything that's at the top and getting all that purified, and then maybe let it solidify, and then maybe hammer it out for a little while, then maybe bend and twist it. Oh, no, got to put it back in the fire, puts it back in the fire. God knows this process better than we do. But I was thinking of this process, and I thought of this song. In fact, if you don't mind, let's try to sing it. I got an extra copy here. I think you guys, most of you will know it. I'll give Ron a copy of it here. The song, the title of the song is Through It All. Pay attention to the words. There's a lot of meaning to this song. So if you don't mind, go ahead and sing. Let's just sing all three verses.
Through it all.
Paid attention to the words of this song, I call it life. Because we've all experienced a lot of these things that it mentioned. But I want to take our attention to how the chorus wraps up. It says, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And we'll get into some of this other here in a little bit. But you know, humans will fail you. Whether it's yourself or someone else. They will fail you. Their words, they'll promise to do something, and then it never happens. I've had that happen numerous times, especially in business transactions. They'll promise, oh, I'm going to meet you at such and such place at such and such time, and we're going to seal the deal, or whatever. And then how many times? They're no-show, you know? I'm like, where are you at? Or they'll never answer the phone, they'll never answer the email. It's like, you'll never hear from them again. I'm like, okay. But that's the humanity side of it. That's the humans. The scripture says, he knoweth our frame and it is but dust. Realize that we're pretty fragile. And sometimes that's mentally too. That people forget. There's simple times where I maybe forgot a particular obligation. It wasn't until days or weeks later I'm like, oh no, I forgot, you know. We do that. We're humans. We can fail. And yes, sometimes we are dependable, but sometimes we're not. But I want to tell you something. Someone that is dependable is the Lord. Yes. And His Word. Yes. It's held true for hundreds, thousands of years, and will continue to. It said His Word will stand forever. But now, let's consider. I'm going to read over some of these verses we just sang. It says, I've had many tears and sorrows. You know what that means? That means we've had some disappointments. That means we've had some heartaches, brokenhearted over something, whether it's a relationship, whatever it may be. Many tears and sorrows. But you know, I think of that scripture in Psalms that says He's bottled up our tears and He knows the number of them. Isn't that amazing? God knows how many tears you've shed over whatever situation it is. God's not confounded by it. He knows exactly how many tears you've shed. That's amazing. It says, I've had questions for tomorrow. You know what that tells me? Fears of the future. We don't know what the future holds for ourselves, for our children, our grandchildren, any of our loved ones. Maybe there's some that aren't saved and it's like, oh Lord, every time I hear they're going on a trip, we pray, Lord, keep them safe. Bring them home safely because they're not saved. They're not ready to go. That's some fears, okay? Questions for tomorrow. Maybe there's some things that where we are stumped, we're confounded, we don't understand something, we don't get it. It's like, why? Yes, sometimes we ask the Lord, why? Well, then there's times, says, I didn't know right from wrong. You ever been there before? Sure, we have. Maybe confused about a matter. Confused about a situation. Like, well, what's going on here? Lord, it seems like You told me to do this and then this happened. And that doesn't add up. Or so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And that doesn't add up. Learn to depend upon His Word. Okay, go back to the Scriptures. His promises, His doctrines, His truth, it never changes. Doesn't matter what the opinions are. Then it goes on, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. You know, that's what it's talking about. Brother Danny preached a message at Myrtle, talking about a sword, how it's made in layers. That it's beaten, it's hammered out, it's heated up and folded over multiple times. That's how a Damascus sword is made, and they're very strong, very powerful. But it has to go through that process, okay? It has to go through that hammering, the heating up, the bending over to make me strong. Then at verse 2, I've been to lots of places and I've seen a lot of faces. You know what that tells me? That's especially those that have been in the way for a long time. They've been through a lot of experiences. And they're saying, through it all. Been through a lot of heartaches, a lot of sorrows, a lot of tears, a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, a lot of trials, a lot of those things. But through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And there's been times I've felt so all alone. You ever felt lonely? Maybe there's people right next to you, but in your spirit, you're all alone. You know what that feels like? Jesus felt that when He was here on the earth. Even He felt like God had forsaken Him. All the ones, they fell asleep in the garden. They couldn't even stay awake to pray for Him. He's like, Lord, are you going to forsake me too? That's how he was feeling. He was all alone in his spirit. Perhaps we felt that way before as well. All alone, lonely. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. You ever had that happen too? Those hours when maybe you've prayed, you've cried, you've wept, you've done all the above, and it's like you didn't feel like you got anywhere. Maybe the ceiling felt like it was locked it in. Just prayers weren't going anywhere. You felt all alone, but then here comes that still small voice saying, "You're still my child. I've not left you." You know, that's what Elijah felt when he was out there running for his life. He was out there in the cave, a little cleft of the rock there, and the mountains and the fire and all those things. But then that still small voice said, "Elijah." God hadn't forgotten him. And yes, Elijah kind of got carried away in the flesh, so to speak, performing these wonderful miracles there. And all the prophets of Baal slain, God performed a marvelous miracle. Wasn't God strong enough to preserve him from the queen as well? But no, when he heard Jezebel wanted to talk to him, he's like, "Oh no, I'm out of here," and he's gone. That's us sometimes. We feel like, "Lord, take me out of here. And if you don't take me out, I'm going to get out of here." You see what I'm saying? We feel like Elijah sometimes. We go run and hide and play hide and go seek with the Lord. Well, Jonah tried that. It didn't last very long. God found Jonah too. And he found Elijah saying, "Elijah," it's like he tapped him on the shoulders like, "You're not alone. 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord will come by and pay us a visit, a personal, specialized visit, right when we need it. Right, if you could say, in the nick of time. God's never early and never late. God let Elijah feel alone for a little while. I believe God just kind of, "Well, we'll just see what he does here." And he started bemoaning the fact, you know, and he's like, "Okay, all right, Elijah, guess what? You're not alone." Isn't that wonderful? God lets us know that we're not alone and that we are his own. Thank the Lord. Verse 3. "I thank God for the mountains and I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the storms." Now notice, it doesn't just stop and say, "I thank the Lord for the mountains, the valleys, and the storms." It doesn't just say that. What's it say at the last? "That he brought me through." All right. That's what the focus is through it all. You see, God will lead us into some trials, temptations, all those different things for a reason, trying to purge us, trying to purify us, trying to ready us for heaven, trying to help us get to a position where he wants to use us more. But he's not just going to leave us there. You realize if you took some gold and just threw it in the fire that's going to purge it, and just left it there and didn't do anything else with it, what good would it do? What good would that gold, what would it really be valuable if it just stays there in the fire and just kind of stays in this little molten state and you're never able to make anything out of it? You see the point? God wants to take us out of the fire. Then he wants to shape us and mold us and use us. Isn't that beautiful? That's what Job realized when we read earlier. Then when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold, not just a blob of gold, but a vessel unto honor, one that he can use and one that's glorifying the Lord, saying the Lord makes this beautiful vessel out of us. And it's like, "See what I can do out of you? See what I can do?" That, you know, isn't that wonderful? God, that's God's plan for us. It's not just to put us in the fire for the fun of it and see how long we boil, you know. So, "Well, it's gold boiling over there, just bubbling, yep. That's pretty cool." No, he's not going to leave us in that state. He's going to take us out and mold us and use us. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God wants to do for us. So that's why we can say, "I thank him for the mountains and the valleys and the storms." Now, this are just words to a song that I've read. And the chorus says, "I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word." You know what that means? That means we are going through school. I know the teenagers and the children don't like to hear that word. But that's what we're going through, the school of life. We're going through God's school, okay? This school is much more important than going to a high school or junior high, middle school, whatever. This is the school of life, all right? Preparing us for the eternal world, that if we're not purified on this side of eternity, guess what? We're not going to make it into heaven. That's the bottom line. And that's why God's saying, I'm sending you through all these things. There'll be an end to them. I'm sending you through these that you might be purified. And then in the end, we can thank the Lord for those things. But that means that we have learned. That means it takes time. That means, yes, there's going to be a certain level of concentration we have to give to it. To study, to pay attention, to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. I mean, how many times when you're in school, especially the guys here, the young men, how many times did the teacher have to get your attention? Hello, pay attention, you know, quit looking out the window, look at me, the teacher up here. How many times did that? Well, we get distracted, we're looking out the window, we're piddling with something, or we're doing whatever. And we have to focus on the teacher, the purifier, the instructor. That's what God's doing here. He's trying to teach us that we might learn how to trust in Him more. Okay? Now, some more scriptures. In Psalms 136, and basically these scriptures are backing up what this song says. But in Psalms 136, verses 13 and 14, it's talking about the children of Israel. You remember the story when they were down in Egypt. Verses 13 and 14, it says, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, God was not going to leave the children of Israel right in the middle of the Red Sea, because that would have defeated his purpose. I came to deliver you out of Egypt. Now I'm not just going to drown you in the Red Sea. I'm going to deliver you through the Red Sea and then drown your enemies behind you. That was God's plan. And that's exactly what happened. But you know, I've brought this out before, but what if the children of Israel, even if it was just a portion of them, would have said, whoa, 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 I'm not going in the middle of that. You know, there's all this water on either side. I'm not going in there. That's a trap. And what if they said, no way, I'm not going there, and just stayed on the other side? What do you think would have happened? Well, for one, the Egyptian army coming through might have saw a few and just kind of taken care of business on their way through. But if that didn't happen, maybe they would have got caught in the flood as the Red Sea drowns the Egyptians. They might have got drowned themselves. Or maybe they get halfway through the Red Sea and decide, no, I don't think, you know, and then the rest of them are gone and you're kind of stuck in the middle of the Red Sea. Oh, well, here come the Egyptians. Oh, I guess we better get out of here, but then it's too late. You see what I'm saying? That we have to trust the Lord and His Word. What He told Moses to do, you get to the other side, you read your rod, your staff over the Red Sea, and it's going to go back over. God did exactly what He said He would do. God had a plan. So I want to encourage us this morning. God has a plan for your life and for my life. Let's not doubt Him and question Him. Let's follow as He commands us to do. Okay? And all will be well. But that was the Red Sea. Then what happened after that? In verse 16, it says, and to him which led his people through the wilderness. The wilderness. I'm sure we've been there before too. A place where you could feel alone. Or a place where it's like, what else is out here? It's just kind of a desert land. There's not much life. And it's, well, the Lord starts feeding us with manna. Okay. Because you have no spiritual food, so to speak. It's like, Lord, I don't have anything. The Lord starts giving you heavenly manna. All right. God starts giving you the provisions that you don't have. God's the one that called you out of Egypt. He delivered you through the Red Sea. Now He's brought you out to the wilderness. And then He's going to preserve you through the wilderness for 40 years. Y'all realize that their clothes and their shoes did not wear out for 40 years. How long does a pair of shoes last us nowadays? Depends on which brand you buy, I guess. Some may last for 5 months. Some may last for 5 years. But for 40 years, any of us have a pair of shoes we've had for 40 years? I doubt they're much count. But these folks had them, and to live outside in them all the time, you know. But this was amazing. God preserved them through the wilderness. Yes. That's the kind of God we serve. Then let's turn and read some scriptures in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Here's some more proof of what God can do. Isaiah 43, verses 1-3. Says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." That part alone is special to me. I am the Lord's. I'm special to Him. He knows my name. He's redeemed me. Then it goes on, verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Sheba for thee." So you see, this is God's plan for us, to lead us through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. Not just to leave us there, not just to leave us to boil, okay? Not just to leave us to drown, but through the waters of... Some of the scriptures talk about affliction. It's things where it's like, it's just everywhere. It's like, every time I turn around, I'm afflicted with something else. Or maybe the rivers where it's so deep, I'm fixing to drown. I got so many things going on, and I'm overwhelmed and overtaxed and stressed out, and I'm just about to drown. It's like, no, it won't overwhelm you, okay? The waters won't overwhelm you, overflow you. And through the fire... We talked about that earlier, about the fiery furnace. Remember the three Hebrew children? What a wonderful story. That's just what God is trying to do for us. That's His plan for us. Not that we would get burned up, but that it would burn up all the enemies. You know what that means? It's all the enemies of self. All the things within that are not Christ-like, that aren't according to His Spirit, according to His way. He's going to leave us in there, purge out all those things where everything that's left is that which is of God. That's exact. Because the guards that threw the three Hebrew children, it burned them up. The bands that had them bound up, it burned off those. You see, that's the things God wants to purge out of us. The things that bind us up spiritually, where we can't do what God wants us to do. Because we got this, dare I say, habit. Particular habits or particular mindsets, particular ways about us that, well, it's just got to be this way, or I got to do this, or no, allow God to burn that up, because it's binding you. It's restricting. Okay. God wants to burn that off because it's of no use to Him or to you or to me. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God wants to do with the fiery furnace, because when they came out of the fiery furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, those of you that have, shouldn't say played with fire, but those of you that have burned trash or burned brush or whatever, when you've been around the fire and around the smoke, it gets on you like that and you can't get it off. It takes a lot of scrubbing, a lot of washing. Okay, so you understand the concept here. The three Hebrew children came out of that fire without the smell of smoke. Isn't that amazing? They were not fazed. That's what God intends to do for you and I. To bring us through the fire. To burn off everything that's not like Him. To purge us and to purify us. Thank the Lord. Chapter 48. Same book of Isaiah. 48th chapter. Verse 21. Says, "And they thirsted not when He led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out." Isn't that amazing? God, you find yourself in a desert. You ever been there? A dry time spiritually. It's like you just can't get anything from God. It's like God is so distant. I felt God before, but now I don't know where He's at. I don't feel Him moving. I've not given up on Him. I'm still living for Him, but where's He at? It's a desert, a dry time spiritually. And God is going to take you through that desert too. He doesn't want to leave you there to die of thirst. Okay? No, God wants to feed you with His living springs, the living water to flow through you. Oh, that's one of the most marvelous things, especially when you've been working out in the hot sun for hours maybe, and to go get a cup of refreshing cold water. Oh, it just refreshes you. It livens you up and you're ready to go out and do it again. That's what God wants to do for us spiritually. Yes, we may go through some desert times, but He's going to quench our spiritual thirst with the living Word of God flowing through us. That God wants to do that for. He doesn't want to just leave us there to where, we get these, we get thirsty and your mouth is just dry. It's like, can't even talk. You can't hardly swallow. You can't hardly function. But God wants to quench your thirst. If you could say it this way, to where you can, it not only refreshes you inwardly, but that it looses your lips, so to speak, where you can sing praises to Him and testify of everything God has done. You remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They were beaten. They weren't quiet about it. The prisoners and the guard, all of them heard them singing and praying. God was quenching their thirst. God was giving them, allowing the living Word of God to flow through, the power of God. And they were willing to tell the world about it. And how did the end of that story turn out? Well, not only did they make it out of prison, but the jailer and his family, they were saved as well. Isn't that wonderful? That's how God wants to use these things that looks like adversities. And yes, it is tribulation, because God promised you will have tribulation. But we can be an overcomer through all of these things. Then one more in Isaiah 25. In Isaiah the 25th chapter. In verse 4. It says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." So again here, it says, "Thou hast been a strength to the poor." You know, there's times where the adversities will get us to the point where we don't feel like we have anything on hand. And I'm not just talking of monetary value. That can be as well. But I'm talking anything. We just feel like, I have nothing, Lord. You know, God will sometimes allow us to go through those times to realize this thing is about God. It's not about who I or you, or who we are. You see what I'm saying? God wants to be the one glorified. God wants to bring us down where we stripped of nothing of ourselves. That way He can start clothing us with His righteousness, with the fruits of His Spirit, not our own personal spirit. You see what I'm saying? God wants to get all those things purged and taken away, stripped down where we feel truly poor and needy before Him, that I can't do anything without You, Lord. That's where He wants us. That's where He can use us. That's where He can truly start purging us. Then it goes on, says, "A strength to the needy in his distress, and a refuge from the storm." You know, I think of a storm because it mentions later about the blast. You ever been in a windstorm? No doubt most of us have. Been in a place where the wind is just causing havoc. And then you try to step outside and it about blows you over. And you see other things tumbling through the air and debris flying and all these things, like, duck, you know, watch out. You realize that's what can happen in this world that we live in. With the winds, okay, of the world, the tides of emotion, the tides of opinions, all the onslaughts of the enemy, the influences of this world trying to blow you off course, trying to blind your eyes, try to muddy the waters where you don't know where you're going, you don't know where anyone else is going, you don't see God, it's just all big chaos. You see what I'm saying? That's the storms of life sometimes, where you can't even see maybe your foot in front of the other because of everything going on. But the Lord's saying, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to bring you through that too. Through all the storms, through all the winds, through all the poverty, through all the distresses, through all the blasts of the evil one. Sometimes there's people that just love to talk about you or about the church or about the ministry or about God himself, bashing God. Oh, that's just despicable. But I've heard people just laughing and mocking at God. Oh, well, if he's in control, why did he allow that? I'm like, you don't know what you're saying. You better be careful. God knows what he's doing. Let's not question God. Oh, Lord, help us to die out to ourselves. Say, Lord, I am nothing before you. Lord, purge me. Use me. Send me through the fire again. Maybe there's some more debris in there that needs to be burned out. And the Lord is faithful. He might bring us through the fire again. He might lead us through the desert again. He might lead us through the wilderness again. He might allow the waters to get almost too high. And then, nope, he takes them back down. Just to get us, sometimes to get our attention. To let us know God is in control and I'm not in control. You see what I'm saying? That's what the whole focus of this is. God said, I will not give my glory to another. God is a jealous God. So when we start gratifying and glorifying ourselves or one another, be careful. God's not pleased with that. God may send you through the fire again. God may send the flood again. Not to drown you, not to destroy you, but to get our attention, like, hello, this is God talking. You need to leave that alone. You need to leave that with me, or whatever the case is, or you need to purge that out of your life. You need to change that habit. You need to change that mindset. Whatever it is, God wants to use these things for our spiritual advantage. That through it all, as the song says, I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Because it's never failed me. It's never failed any of those that put their trust and confidence in the Lord. So I'm here this morning to encourage you that through it all, in whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, or tomorrow, or next week, through it all, don't lose your confidence in God. Remember, He's the one that placed you here on this earth. He's the one that puts you in the family that you're in right now. He's the one that placed you on the job you're at right now. The school, the whatever the situation, He's the one that puts you in that place that you might bring glory to Him. That you might be ultimately purged and purified of all of self, where all that's left is the pure gold that glorifies God. That ultimately, He can say at the end of your life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my abode. That's the words I want to hear. Lord, help us all to be encouraged. Allow God to work in your life, that through it all, we can learn to depend and trust in Him. Pray for me that I be faithful.